Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2. All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game, including the Women's Super League.
Cleared off the line by Steph Horton.
The UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clellan striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scores!
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly after another successful women's football weekend. Yes, there weren't 70,000 fans packing out stadia up and down the country, but there were some absolute crackers for us to watch.
It's loose inside that six-yard robot. Brilliant save, but it's forced in, and Manchester United have completed the comeback. The league lead is held by their deadly rivals, Manchester City, by 2 goals apiece.
So United stay top of the table after coming from behind to draw with City. England's Georgia Stanway will be with us to discuss that one. Meanwhile, it was also honours even in the London Derby.
Cross was deflected and it's gone in! Oh, would you believe it? What a way for Arsenal to concede! And it finishes at Meadow Park. Arsenal 1, Chelsea 1.
Chelsea's Erin Cuthbert is fresh off the pitch and with us tonight. And as if two derbies weren't enough, we were treated to a third and there was a winner in West Midlands.
And Dow heads it away, only as far as Walker, who banged it off the bar and into the back of the net. Claudia Walker continues her fine run of form in front of goal.
Birmingham City claimed all 3 points in the first ever WSL West Midlands derby at Villa Park. All that, plus we'll round up the championship and look ahead to the Sunday Times Sports Women of the Year Awards. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Monday comes around quickly, doesn't it? Okay, hello to you. Thank you for being with us as ever. We have a couple of cracking guests for you as well. Let me first introduce Erin Cuthbert, Scotland and Chelsea winner and top of the and winner of the TalkSport quiz players table as well. What an accolade, Erin. How you doing?
Oh, wow. I think we left the best accolade till the end there. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course we did. Listen, 8 out of 10, you've absolutely smashed it. Nobody has got any better. Let's see, Rebecca Myers, Times and Sunday Times journalist, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, no such quiz impressive statistics over here, but all good.
Well, I can give you a quiz if you want.
Oh, God, no, please.
Or Erin could pose you one, maybe. Maybe we should have done a head-to-head at the end of this show. But anyway, right, it was Women's Football Weekend, but not quite as we know it. 70,000 fans packed stadia across the country at the inaugural weekend last year. You guys were all so missed. But it was a weekend packed full of derbies, rival games in Manchester, Birmingham and London. And those matchups certainly did not disappoint.
It's loose inside that six-yard robot. Brilliant save, but it's forced in. And Manchester United have completed the comeback.
I think today is probably my proudest moment as a head coach. Just getting close to winning it just shows the strength of character.
It's disappointing. Feels like 2 points dropped, especially in the commanded position we were in.
Harding with the chance to cross. It's gone all the way in. And Reading have levelled. And Natasha Harding scores an absolute belter.
It's a great ball from Perfield. It's come through for Salmon. Salmon scores. In stoppage time, Bristol City find the equaliser. And who else would it be but Ebony Salmon?
Whitfield managed to keep this in and gets the cross towards the far post. And Dow heads it away, only as far as Walker, who banged it off the bar and into the back of the net. Claudia Walker continues her fine run of form in front of goal.
Claudia's enjoying her football, and she's come off and she's not very happy because she's not played well. But actually, the moment that we needed her, she stepped up once again. So unbelievably proud of what she's achieving at the moment.
Touched on, looking for Jarrett. Can she get there? She can. Jarrett! She scored! And having soaked up so much, it's Brighton who nudged themselves in front through Rihanna Jarrett.
Wiedemar looking to take on Bright. She's beaten up the pace. Can she get the shot in? Puts it across. Arsenal leads. Wiedemar the provider. Mead the goal scorer. And with 5 minutes to go here, it's the Gunners who are in front. The cross was deflected and it's gone in. Oh, would you believe it? What a way for Arsenal to concede in the final seconds of the 90.
I think it was an average performance, but an unbelievable point for us. And I'm pleased because these are the games I fear.
I've probably never been more disappointed than today not to take all 3 points.
You heard Emma Hayes, the Chelsea manager, and Arsenal's Joe Montemiro there as we rounded up Women's Football Weekend. Before we delve into Arsenal 1, Chelsea 1, I just want to know from both of you whether you felt the love on Women's Football Weekend. Erin, could you tell that it was a special weekend even without the fans?
Yeah, I think it's not the same without the fans, but there was certainly a lot of build-up in social media from what I saw. Everyone was pretty excited about it, and I don't think it disappointed.
No, it certainly didn't disappoint on the pitch. Rebecca, what was your thought of it? I mean, everything is different in lockdown at the moment as it is, but, you know, was there enough publicity for it?
I think so, yeah. I was actually so pleased to see when it was sort of first announced that it was still going ahead, because I think, you know, there was always that sort of, you know, we didn't know that it was going to go ahead. It would be sort of understandable if it hadn't. Certainly they weren't aiming for, like you said, the same kind of attendance records, and that's impossible. But I was just delighted to see that they just went for it, and they said, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to do it really well. Every single match was available to watch for free. That has never happened. You know, we had Claire Balding wrote a fantastic column for us on Sunday in the Sunday Times, saying, you know, it is the easiest sport in the country to watch today. And that is so true. That's such an amazing thing we can do for the game. So yeah, I was really loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it, to keep that momentum going as well, when you think 70,000 people went to games last year and it became an event. You can't then take it away because, you know, then it'd be like starting from scratch again next year. So although it's not the same kind of momentum, it at least kind of keeps the interest there. And as you say, to be able to watch it on television is just as important, particularly at the moment. So Arsenal 1, Chelsea 1. This game kind of sprung into life in the second half, but probably the best person to give us an assessment of the actual game itself is someone who played in it. So step forward, Erin Cuthbert, what was it like from your point of view?
I think from a Chelsea point of view, it was quite a disappointing performance. I think we'll be happy with the point, and in the grand scheme of things, it's actually pretty good because the league's really competitive this year, so we need every point we can get. So I think definitely it's a point gain, but I don't think we tested the goalkeeper at all, to be honest, and we were disappointed with that because based on the quality that we have in this group, you know, we want to be testing the goalkeeper and making it difficult for them. But credit to Arsenal, I think they defended excellently and they made it really hard and they banked up and there was not a lot of gaps between the lines, so that's something different that we've had to face, because in a lot of the last previous times we've played Arsenal, it's been very high scoring games, but it was definitely different this time round.
Yeah, you had a perfect opportunity blocked by Katie McCabe, didn't you? And of course, Sam Kerr could have won it as well. But let's kind of go in game order, if you like. Great for Arsenal to have Jill Roord and Kim Little back fit, starting for the first time since September. They hit the bar twice as well. And then 5 minutes from time, Vivian Miedemar down the left to Beth Mead. And it was a beautifully worked goal, Rebecca.
Absolutely, yeah, and you know what? I keep thinking about it as a Miedemar goal, which is totally unfair to Beth because it was an amazing, amazing goal from her. But just the kind of clarity of that assist, it was just so beautifully executed. You know, she knew exactly where she was on the pitch. She knew exactly the kind of angle she had to put it in at. And she is, I mean, obviously she's a joy to watch. We all know this now, but she just keeps getting better and better, which you sort of don't think is possible.
I mean, 5 minutes from time, I bet you thought you were dead and buried then, Erin.
Yeah, I did and I didn't, because at that point I always knew there was a belief in the squad. I got substituted when the goal happened, but I knew the players come in would give energy, and Niamh Charles has came on and she's delivered a beautiful ball for Sam nearly to even get the winner at the end. So I knew they'd inject energy. I don't think Arsenal made any substitutions, so we had the upper hand. Maybe if there was another 10-15 minutes in the game it would have been different, but it certainly sprung to life near the end of the game.
Yeah, it really did, because on 90 minutes Pernilla Harder, it looked like she was trying to cross the ball in, but it took a deflection past Insberger into the back of the goal. Disappointing for Lotte Ruben Moy, whose deflection it was, but you know, it got you back into the game at least. And sometimes, you know, if you want to try and win the title, you're going to have a little bit of luck go your way.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to grind out results. Everyone sees the quality that we've got on this side, but I think sometimes you need to be realistic and say it's not going to be pretty all the time. If you want to win a title, not everything's going to be pretty. So I think for us, just getting a point was really, really important. I think it's definitely a change from us, because I've been here 4 years now, and I think a couple of years ago we would have lost that game.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. You're third in the table as well. A game in hand still. Are you happy with the way it's going? I mean, if you win that game in hand, then you'd be top.
Yeah, to be honest, I think we're in a brilliant position. We've still got a game in hand. And it's 27 games unbeaten. I think we've beat our own record, which is massive. And I think being unbeaten is the sort of base and foundation to go on and win titles. So I think that's important for us. And keeping clean sheets was important. We were, you know, disappointed with a goal that was scored yesterday, but we've been doing really well not to let a lot of goals in. So I think with the attacking quality that we have, keeping goals out is sort of the foundation for us then to go on and create chances and score.
Rebecca, we heard from Joe Montemuro, the Arsenal manager there, saying he's never been more disappointed to not take 3 points. I mean, it could have brought them back above Manchester United and top of the table, and he'll probably look back at that if Arsenal don't go on to win the title and be kicking himself. Perhaps,
yeah. I mean, it was a particularly sort of brutal way to lose those 3 points. And I really, you know, my heart really went out to Lotte Ruben Moy, who, you know, I think she'd literally just been announced in the stadium as the player of the match, if I'm right. And then that happened. And, you know, she's a super talented, really young player as well. So you want to, you know, you always hope that won't kind of be taken to heart in any way. It was just one of those horribly unlucky moments, I think. But yeah, you know, also, I just say credit to both teams. And I think this is the only, in matches like this, with this kind of extraordinary level of talent from both teams and real burning desire to win, that you get these kind of incredible late sort of chaotic last 10 minutes that actually are just a joy to watch. So it's a real credit to how much both teams really want the end result. And I thought that was kind of the biggest gift the game could have been given that day.
Yeah, absolutely. So a point apiece seemed fair in the end. But Erin, what I want to ask you about Chelsea, we've seen the incredible talent that Emma Hayes has brought in, but she already had incredible talent in the ranks. How are you finding this competition for places at the moment? Is everybody finding it spurring them on, or can it be quite frustrating sometimes for the players who don't make the starting 11?
I think if you're in football and you're not in the starting 11 and you're not disappointed, there's something wrong. So I think it's how you use that disappointment. I've certainly enjoyed having world-class players playing next to me in training every single day. And I think the competition's making everyone a better player. Yes, we had world-class already at the club, you know, before the summer signings and Sam in the winter. But I think in order to get to the next level and go where we want to go, which is ultimately the Champions League and winning all four trophies that we're in, then we have to keep building and we have to keep improving as a football club, because everyone's getting better. You know, we saw the quality, saw the, you know, introduction of Manchester United, certainly this season, for sure. And how competitive the league is getting. We can't stand still, so we have to keep growing, and hopefully we bring the standard up in general in women's football in England.
Well, from a neutral's point of view, it's certainly exciting to watch, so thank you for that. And we love seeing the standard raised and there being more teams fighting to win the WSL. Right, you are listening to Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2. I'm Faker Others, alongside Scotland and Chelsea forward Erin Cuthbert and Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times. Now we get all the big name guests on Women's Football Weekly. Weekly, as you know, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. And next up, Georgia Stanway is with us to dissect the Manchester derby.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker. Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the home for women's football.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with Faye Carruthers, Scotland and Chelsea forward Erin Cuthbert and Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times. Don't forget, if you miss any of our shows or want to listen again on our podcast, they are available on the TalkSport app, so you can download them today and go to our podcast section. Right, so we've covered off the London derby. Now it's time for the Manchester derby.
It's loose inside that 6-yard run, but brilliant take, and it's forced in, and Manchester United have completed the comeback.
The league lead is held by their deadly rivals, Manchester City, by 2 goals apiece.
I think it says a huge amount about how hard they work day in, day out to improve, how open-minded they are, you know, how coachable they are, because, you know, I think in terms of the way they have been moving forward, the way they've developed over the last 2 years, it shows you they're coming on in games against top opposition.
Being 2-0 up, being so in control in the first half, having numerous chances. We always knew 2-0 is not an easy scoreline in football to manage. But yeah, I thought it was a classic game of two halves. I thought we completely dominated the first half, played some great stuff, and then didn't do enough of that in the second period, so consistency was off a little bit. They score a goal from nothing and, you know, you're up against it then a little bit with set pieces.
That's Manchester City boss Gareth Taylor and Manchester United's Casey Stoney talking there. And by the way, can I just say, I'll be very glad when we get out of this era of Zoom interviews, because it always sounds as if we're talking to people in a toilet. Let's hope that our next guest is not talking to us from inside a toilet. It is Manchester City and England's Georgia Stanway. How you doing, Georgia?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And it doesn't sound like you're in a toilet, which is great. What are you up to at the moment?
I'm just sat in the living room. Just turn the TV off, I'll speak to you, and then I'll put it back on.
Brilliant. OK, well, listen, I've got Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times with me and Chelsea's Erin Cuthbert as well, so they're going to be chipping in with a couple of questions too. Really fantastic derby on Saturday, kicking off Women's Football Weekend brilliantly. Not quite the result, though, that City would have wanted, but what a show to put on for the fans who were watching from home.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a very, very good watch, and I'm sure that the people watching really enjoyed it. But obviously on a personal level and speaking on behalf of Manchester City, we're obviously disappointed with the result, and especially having a 2-0 lead at half-time and then going to that second half. It's just, it almost feels like a loss at the end of the game, but we've got another game on Thursday to try and put things right.
Yeah, I mean, was a draw a fair result, though, do you think, in the end?
Yeah, I think in the first half we massively dominated, but I'd also say that we didn't take our chances. And then obviously in the second half, they capitalised on a few of technical errors and then obviously on a set piece as well. So it's really difficult to take, but we know the things that we've got to put right and we'll continue to work on that this week.
What did Gareth Taylor say to you all afterwards?
He just said that we've just got to trust the process and we've got to keep doing what we're doing and that we're heading in the right direction and that there were so many positives to take away from that first half. The way we dominated possession, the way we were creating chances, the way we were getting shots off. But then you can also flip it on the head and say that second half, we did none of them things. But yeah, there's so many different positives and negatives to take out of the game. But yeah, we'll just reflect and go again.
Hi, Georgia, it's Rebecca here. I'm just wondering, there's been so much hype, obviously, about particularly like all the foreign players who've come in from other leagues around the world, and particularly, obviously, the American players, and in this instance, Tobin Heath. But I was just wondering, like, does it really fire you up to go out on the pitch at the moment and play against these names, particularly kind of World Cup winners, and show them, like, well, this is what British talent is, you know, this is what we've got as homegrown talent as well. I wonder if it really fires you up.
Yeah, you can think of it like that. But we also just think about representing our club. And Manchester City is who we play for week in, week out. And they're the team that we wear and they're the team that we want to win with. And although the opposition and us ourselves have signed big players, that it's about utilising that. And obviously, the opposition signing big players will only make the league more and more competitive. And that if we can get it as competitive as we can, where teams are dropping points against teams that they never used to before, then hopefully the more talent within the competition, and obviously the bigger the talent pool will become.
Hi, Georgia. It's Erin Cuthbert here. Nice to speak to you again.
Thank you,
John. I just wanted to ask you, you've been in a few different positions this season, a bit like myself, kind of just being played a bit everywhere, a bit fluid. How do you think that's good for a young player, and how important do you think that is to have so many different positions under your locker?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's got its positives and its negatives. I think if you look at it negatively, people would say that you can't constantly fight for one position, and you can't obviously master one position. But I think if you look at it positively, it's a way of getting on the pitch in so many different positions. If somebody's underperforming, then you can always step up in that position, and it just gives you more variability, more flexibility, and yeah, you're able to play in different positions. So I'd definitely say, as a younger player coming up, it's important to be versatile and to be able to play in those loads of different positions, because it'll only help you when you're in the seniors.
Yeah, I can see how that would help you for sure, Georgia. I just wondered whether you watched any of the other games during Women's Football Weekend, and if anyone in particular has impressed you. Say Erin Cuthbert.
No, I did. I really enjoyed watching the Chelsea-Arsenal game. I think obviously any London derby is going to be feisty, as is any derby. So it was actually really enjoyable to watch. Well, I actually thought it was going to be a 0-0er. And then obviously Arsenal took the lead in the very last minute, and I thought that's Arsenal with the points. But fair enough to Chelsea, they always find a way to win, and they always find a way to get points on the board, and that's what they did. So credit to them for putting out the show until the 90th minute.
Yeah, it was a cracking weekend. I think Rebecca's got another quick question for you as well.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Georgia, we've talked so much about maintaining momentum this year, and particularly after an amazing year for women's football last year, obviously in the face of COVID and sort of all the rescheduling and the suspension of the league and everything. Do you feel now, coming into kind of the end of the year, that we have maintained that momentum with fans, and that, you know, women's football has had a successful year?
Yeah, I hope so. My hope is the fact that when fans are able to come back, that we can get the fans in the crowd and that we can get them enjoying the game. But hopefully people are enjoying the fact that it's on TV and that it's free for people to watch, and that pretty much every competition, every game is being streamed somewhere so that people are allowed to watch. But yeah, my hope is just that fans come up and they show up and that they enjoy it when the time's right.
I mean, Tobin Heath's goal has been watched over 1 million times on Twitter as well. So certainly that the word is getting out there, which is brilliant. A couple of questions before you go, Georgia. Just firstly, what did you make of Chloe Kelly's goal celebration? Because it was really random from what we were looking. Had she been planning it in the training ground? Is there like an in-joke we don't know?
So quite a few of us, we enjoy watching TikToks. And there's like a little green alien, and he does this sort of dance, so she could kind of try to mimic that.
Right, okay. Well, I think I'm not really brilliant with TikTok, if I'm honest. It goes right over my head. Do you know what she's talking about, Erin?
Not a clue, but it sounds quite funny. That was good banter. As soon as I saw that goal, I was like, oh, that has to be an inside joke, because there's no way that it could be dancing and celebrating like that if it wasn't.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. I'm going to go and check it out on TikTok. Slightly more serious, though. Obviously, internationals coming up, and the Lionesses game against Norway on the 1st of December had to be called off because of coronavirus travel restrictions. You are still meeting up for a training camp, though, Georgia, as I understand it. What do you think's going to... What are you going to be able to do in that training camp?
I think we'll basically be able to do what we're doing at club now, but it's all about remaining in your bubble and sticking to the COVID guidelines. And I think the right decision was made to cancel the game, just due to the fact that we're keeping everybody safe, and we've got to be as safe as we can during these times. And there's nothing worse than travelling to another country and then maybe testing positive and having to stay there for the duration of the time, potentially on your own, potentially with your team, and it's not a situation that you want to be in. So if we can minimalise the risk as much as possible, and I know football's our be-all and end-all, but it's not the world's be-all and end-all, so it's important that we take safety first.
Yeah, that is really important. But in terms of how you're going to be able to prepare, I mean, obviously you've got nothing to prepare for, so what kind of stuff can you work on?
Well, this is the time that we can work on things ourselves. We can work on individuals. We can work on tactics. We can work on how we play as a team. And maybe this 10 days is the most 10 days that we'll get during a period where we're not preparing for a game. And maybe it's a time that we look at England and we figure out our culture, we figure out how we want to play, and we just knuckle down and get back down to the basics.
Excellent stuff. Listen, you knuckle down, enjoy yourself over the next 10 days or so. Thanks for joining us. As always, a pleasure to talk to you.
No worries, thank you.
Take care. England and Manchester City forward Georgia Stanway there. Erin, we will talk to you about Scotland. You've got some crucial Euro qualifying games coming up against Portugal and Finland. We'll talk to you about those soon. We'll also, of course, be talking about the rest of the WSL action, including a massive West Midlands derby. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. With me, Rebecca Myers from The Times and Chelsea's Erin Cuthbert. And thanks again to Manchester City. He's Georgia Stanway.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio station or show dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers, who can't speak this evening, alongside Scotland and Chelsea's Erin Cuthbert and Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times as well. Now, Erin, we mentioned earlier you have some crucial Euro qualifying games coming up against Portugal and Finland. How confident are you feeling about this? They're both really important matches.
I think we're quietly confident. Obviously, Finland won the last game, so we were disappointed from that, but we've got a chance to make it right. You know, the thing in football is, as soon as you get a defeat or you get a bad result, you're looking forward to the next one, and luckily it's came a couple of weeks later. But tough games ahead, but we've got some welcome faces back in the squad as well, so it's really going to bolster our squad, so I think we're confident.
Yeah, I mean, Kirsty Hansen played really well for Manchester United, but of course Kim Little returning to the side for Arsenal, and then obviously Scotland's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, of course. You know, we've got Jennifer Beattie coming in at the back as well, and then you've got Kim and then Lisa, all big characters and individuals in our team. So I'm really looking forward to it as well. And we've got Fiona Brown coming back from Rosengard. So, yeah, really welcoming it, and I cannot wait to get going next week.
Well, listen, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you, because we'd all love to see Scotland, obviously, at home Euros. It would not be the same without you guys. So we'll keep everything crossed. You've got two games in hand over Finland, who are top. You are 4 points behind them as well, so we'll keep everything crossed for you. Very, very good luck. Right, it was Women's Football Weekend this weekend. Three derbies for you, so we'll wrap up the third now. Birmingham battled through an injury crisis to beat Villa 1-0, and who else but Claudia Walker to grab the winner with her fifth goal in five games.
Managed to keep this in and gets the cross towards the far post. And Dow heads it away, only as far as Walker, who bangs it off the bar and into the back of the net. Claudia Walker
continues her fine run of form in front of goal.
Claudia's enjoying her football, and she's come off and she's not very happy because she's not played well, but actually the moment that we needed her, she stepped up once again, so unbelievably proud of what she's achieving at the moment.
That was, of course, Birmingham head coach Carla Ward speaking there. It was the first ever WSL West Midlands derby, and a good win for Birmingham there, Erin.
Yeah, it was a very good win. I think Birmingham are on a great run of form. I've just been speaking to my teammate, Jamie Lee Napier, who's out in loan in Birmingham, and he said it's a great environment to be involved in, and she's really enjoying her football there.
Yeah, I think it looks like they are, but Aston Villa really struggling at the moment. They got their first win, obviously, last week, but couldn't follow it up, Rebecca.
No, and you know, they did put, you know, really good legwork in, and it was a tough match, obviously really close scoreline, but Birmingham did just edge it, and actually, you know, lovely to see. I know always hard for the losing team, but really lovely to see for Birmingham, who'd had a really tough build up to this, and I know, you know, we mentioned but problems with the COVID protocols, and you know, only two subs named on the day. That's a really tough, I think, mindset to go in with as a team, so all credit to them for that.
Yeah, COVID hitting everybody really hard at the moment. Really want to wish the very best to Tanya Oxtoby as well, Bristol City head coach, who tested positive for the virus as well, so wishing her the very best. That game finished Bristol City 2 Spurs 2. They finally have a point on the board as well, Bristol City. That was thanks to a dramatic last-minute equaliser from Ebony Salmon. Alex Morgan, their first start, had to come off, though, at half-time. Rhianna Dean sent off for Spurs for a challenge on Sophie Bagley. Spurs still without a win, which is a real worry for them, isn't it, Erin?
Yes, I think so. We've just been concentrating on ourselves, to be honest. But of course, in the WSL, you worry about not getting results, and I'm sure Tottenham will be the same because they're a big football club as well. So I'm sure they'll be wanting a win.
Yeah, Bristol City still rock bottom of the table, Rebecca. Big worries. Listen, we've spoken a lot to Tanya about what she's got to contend with, but it's not looking good at the minute.
It's not, and it's just so sort of deeply unfair in so many ways. You mentioned, obviously, heart goes out to her as she's tested positive, but they had all these problems with, you know, with this 8-1 recent defeat, and they've just had a real kind of rough run of it. And I think Tanya's a fantastic manager, and I really kind of want to see her sort of being given the break almost that she deserves, being given that sort of slightly lucky streak you mentioned earlier. You kind of do need a lucky streak sometimes. It's not always just what you can produce on the day. Sometimes you do need a sprinkle of kind of right place, right time. And they really deserve it at this point. It's been a really tough season for them. So I'm kind of hoping that we can see some sort of bright end to the year for him, perhaps.
Yeah, hopefully. West Ham 0, Brighton 1. Hope Powell actually self-isolating as well as a precaution. But Brighton's first victory since the opening day. Fifth defeat of the season for the Hammers, though. Couldn't manage those back-to-back victories. But, you know, Brighton continue. They're eighth in the table, but West Ham at ninth with just 4 points. And Matt Beard is, you know, a very popular manager on the WSL scene, and he's going to be so disappointed with their season so far, Erin.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will be. Matt Beard is a manager who wears his heart on his sleeve, so I'm sure the girls will know about it and they'll be feeling really, really disappointed. I think West Ham are a team who have got a lot of quality on their side, so I'm sure they'll be disappointed and looking into reasons as to why they're not getting the results that they'll be hoping for.
Yeah, Brighton, though, on the other hand, very, very mixed results for them. I can't quite work out who they are as a team, Rebecca.
Yeah, a very, very similar sort of take on that, I think. Like, it all looks a bit sort of muddled at this point. Obviously, also then a really crucial point to have your manager self-isolating. That's really tough, because what they need right now is very sort of clear leadership, I think, and very clear idea of what, you know, what their aims are, where they're going. It's a sort of shaky point for them, and they need to really turn it around quite quickly rather than let this get to them and end up kind of having a sort of spiral effect where things get worse, I think.
Slight spiral effect going on for Everton at the moment. They had a 1-1 draw with Reading, and, you know, since that FA Cup final defeat to Manchester City, they've kind of slipped in form a little bit somewhat. They've slipped out of the top three, so they're level on points with Chelsea, but with an inferior goal difference, so they're fourth in the table at the moment. But spectacular saves by Royals goalkeeper Grace Maloney in this one, Rebecca.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this to you before, Faye, you know, I love to see a great goalie. I love it when the goalie ends up basically being the sort of player of the match. And let's not forget as well that it's been an extraordinary few months really for Everton. And it was extraordinary to see them kind of get that far in the FA Cup final, not to take away from that achievement. But I think we need to sort of let them recuperate from that, let them sort of collect themselves, take into account what an amazing few weeks this has been. And then, you know, I have every faith in them to regroup. I think management there is fantastic. I've got great faith in that. And I think they will be sort of back up there as soon as possible.
Friend of the show, Jess Fishlock, Erin, assist for the Reading equaliser. But Tash Harding, that kind of cross shot that went in, the crot, if you like, that we've seen Beth Mead claim before. Would you claim that you meant that kind of thing, Erin?
Oh, 100%. If that's going in, you're saying in the media that you've been practicing that in training all week. I'm sure she'll be delighted. I'm sure it probably was meant for a cross. But at the end of the day, if you're putting those crosses in between the sort of goalkeeper, the six-yard box, the penalty box, then one of them are going to end up flying in, especially if there was a bit of wind like there was yesterday at our game.
Yeah, OK. Well, next time you do that, we'll remind you of that for sure. Valerie Govan, though, Rebecca, that injury she picked up in the FA Cup final looks like she's going to be out until at least Christmas, and they're really, really missing her, Everton.
Yeah, she showed very quickly kind of why she'd been bought and why she was worth it. You know, I think there's always so much hype, and we've seen this around Alex Morgan, there's so much hype with massive signings like that. And you sort of always wonder, like, can they certainly initially live up to it? And Valerie Govan did, you know, straight away in the league, became sort of integral to their results. And I think they will be really missing her. But they need to, I think, you know, always go back to basics and think, well, you know, it was great that we brought her in, but we're a fantastic team without her. You know, a lot of our achievements have been, I say, oh, I'm not a fan, I should just self-declare. but I think, you know, they need to have faith in the sort of strengths that they've built and the wider team, and not, you know, by any stretch rely on one person.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So the table, as it's looking at the minute, Manchester United top on 17 points, played 7. Arsenal just a point behind them, also played 7. Chelsea women with a game in hand in third, 3 points off Manchester United. Everton, as I say, dropping to 4th, but level on points with Chelsea. Then it's Manchester City, they're on 12. Birmingham, Reading, Brighton, West Ham, and then Aston Villa and Tottenham with just 3 points each. And then at the bottom, as we said, Bristol City women as well, but still a lot to play for in this season. Now then, let's wrap up the Championship, shall we? We don't very often on Women's Football Weekly get to do that, which is a massive disservice to what is a very exciting league, particularly this season. So Sheffield United were beaten 1-0 by Durham. I know we've got a Durham fan who messages in all the time, who'll be very, very excited about that one. So Durham holding on to top spot after that 1-0 win. Rivals, they are Sheffield United, of course, looking to try and get promoted this season. The favourites, though, this season, Liverpool, failing to find a way past resolute Blackburn Rovers. That ended up 0-0. London Bees beat Lewis 1-0. That takes the Bees off the bottom of the table as well. Oh, gosh, Leicester City 9, Coventry United 1. I mean, Leicester City are being fantastic this season anyway. I went up there earlier on in the season to meet everybody and chat about their season ahead. And, oh dear, Coventry United, that's not a good result to them. So Leicester up to second with that result. So the fight for that one promotion spot just could not be any tighter. 1 point separating Durham and Leicester. Liverpool in third, 3 points behind top spot. And Sheffield United dropped down to 4th, just 1 point behind Liverpool. It's so exciting to watch this season, Erin.
Yeah, it is. It's so competitive. I think the Championship as well, everyone thought, oh, Liverpool would come straight back up and they were going to be investing again. But I think other teams have invested as well. We've saw Leicester City becoming professional, and from what I've heard, it's a very professional environment. You've saw a lot of WSL players actually go down to the Championship to play for Leicester. So it's looking really, really exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting, and I can say it is a very professional setup, and they train at the same training ground as the men, and they're certainly investing in that side. So good luck to them and everybody else in the Championship this season. We will go into a little bit more depth in the Championship next week when we've got a little bit more time, but I'll tell you a bit more about that later on. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, alongside Scotland and Chelsea's Erin Cuthbert and Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times. Don't forget, if you do miss any of the show, you can find our podcast by downloading the TalkSport app and searching for Women's Football Weekly. Next, we're going to be shining our spotlight on the Sunday Times Sports Women of the Year Awards.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, and keeping you company with me, Scotland and Chelsea's Erin Cuthbert and Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times. Now then, a piece of news that came out this week was Chelsea captain Magdalena Eriksson has signed a new contract extension until 2023. What best person to ask than her teammate Erin Cuthbert about what she's actually like? Erin, I'm just wondering, how crucial actually is she to the culture at Chelsea?
I think very important. There's been so many signings, but for me, Magda's really stuck out in that department. She's a great role model, and since she's came into the club, she's instilled a really professional environment, and she's always pushed the standards, and I think she's really, really helped our culture. And I think she's so consistent every single week. We can always say Magda's in and around the player of the match, and I think that sort of that energy and that confidence really kind of flows out to the rest of the team. So she's a very positive role model for us.
So when you see her sign an extension for another 3 years, what kind of boost does that give you guys? Because it feels as if you have like a lot more stability there at the moment.
I think it's a great boost. I've saw the difference that Magda's made since being captain in a year, so I'm really excited to see the difference that she's going to make in 3 years. She's definitely really helped me, and she's always so, so positive and so professional in her standards. She's always first in the gym, you know, making sure that she's working hard, and she's always running a lot in training and pushing everyone to be better. So I think really the sky is the limit, and I'm really delighted for Magda because she certainly deserves it.
So we're going to be talking about role models shortly when we shine our spotlight on the Sunday Times Sports Women of the Year Awards. And certainly Magda Eriksson is definitely a role model. You know, everybody saw that famous photograph of her in an embrace with her partner, Pamela Harder, who now, of course, plays for Chelsea as well. And they've been talking in kind of a wide-ranging interview about the relationship that they have, and that they didn't really intentionally plan to be role models, if you like. But I just wondered, Erin, from a player's point of view, how important is it to have role models like them coming out, being as open as they are, talking about their relationship and just making it, and I use this word really loosely and uncomfortably, if I'm honest, normally, if you like.
I think it's brilliant that, you know, Magda and Pernilla's behaviour is becoming normalised, because it's a great environment to be part of. And yeah, like you said, they weren't meaning to be role models, but they feel like because they have a platform, they have a responsibility to be who they are and show them who they can be. And I think we all at the club certainly support them as well. And I think I really enjoy kind of seeing Magda being open, being who she is. And I think she really has a platform to influence change, and she's got a really powerful voice that people listen to.
Yeah, and it's important she has that as well, because obviously it's very open in the women's game. It's not a culture that you know, takes anybody by surprise. But of course, in the men's game, it's very, very different. And, you know, I hate always comparing the two. But, you know, Eriksson talked about the fact that, you know, the culture is not accepting enough in men's football, and it ends up not being an individual responsibility to come out. It should be a collective responsibility to make that environment as safe as possible for someone to be brave enough. And, you know, it shouldn't be that we're talking about somebody having to be brave in 2020 to do that.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's just the culture and that's been created in men's football. It's not very accepting. And it's not an individual's responsibility to come out. I think it is the collective responsibility, because to make the environment as safe as possible
But, you know, I think it's the right steps that it's happening in the women's game, and hopefully in the men's game we start to see more positive role models like that to be able to show whoever that they can be whatever they want to be.
Absolutely. And talking of positive role models, that leads us very nicely into our spotlight this week, because if you haven't been listening to Women's Football Weekly, every week this season we pick a person, a club, an organisation or an event from the world of women's football to shine our spotlight on. We want you, though, to come up with the suggestions of whose story that you'd like to hear or what you'd like to hear a little bit more about. So maybe a player, a coach or a team, past or present. We've had plenty of suggestions come in, so thank you for that. You can tweet us at TalkSport2 or at Faye Carruthers, or email us on womensfootballweekly@talksport.co.uk, and we'll see what we can do. But this week, we're shining our spotlight on the Sunday Times Sports Women of the Year Awards. Rebecca, you've been working on this, as you do tirelessly every single year. Where are we up to now? And can you explain to everybody exactly what this event is, who won it last year, and tell us more about this year's event?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for spotlighting this, because we are super proud of it. And it's just, it's a strange year to do it in.
Isn't it just?
I mean, I remember back in like March, we were having these conversations about maybe we'll be able to get 100 people in a room by November. And that's obviously not the case now. So it's a virtual awards this year. We've been doing this for 3 decades now. So, obviously sports women across the board have had more and more publicity and more press coverage in recent years. And that's amazing. But we've really been doing this for a very long time, so we're very proud of that. We recognise the elite sportswoman of the year, we also recognise disability sportswoman of the year, and often kind of team of the year, young athlete of the year. But this year we've changed a couple of those awards, and we're doing 3 awards that really are grassroots focused. Because of the pandemic, we wanted to look at all these women who had kept sport alive in their communities and kept people active, kept people positive. You know, we've got Paralympians who sewed masks and stuff for the NHS, as well as people who sort of, you know, worked through the Black Lives Matter movement to raise awareness of women of colour in sport. Just an absolutely amazing array of sportswomen. So voting closed literally today, which is super exciting, because votes will be being counted right now and we will know our winners imminently. And then they'll be announced at the evening next Wednesday, which is a virtual event. Anyone can join, which is another really actually like quite a positive part of the pandemic, which I never thought I'd say, but you know, normally we can only have a very small number of people, and now we can have whoever we want. So I encourage everyone to sort of get dressed up at home, get a glass of Prosecco or tea if that's your thing, and just tune in to celebrate what has still been an amazing year for women's sport.
I love the fact that we can celebrate with everybody this year, because as you say, normally there's just a few of us able to be there, and then we can send out clips on social media and things like that. But it's really important to share this with everybody, because it's such an important awards ceremony highlighting the amazing thing that women in sport are doing.
Exactly. And the real like heart of it has always been, and I think will always be, you know, the grassroots is just ordinary women like myself, you know, like women, I think often particularly aren't always that sporty when they're younger. Obviously there'll be exceptions, and certainly Erin would be one of them, but so many of us I think are told that kind of sport isn't for us, or don't sort of see ourselves reflected in the media or in you know, the upper echelons of sport, certainly in previous generations. And this is all about the women who kind of break through that and say to young girls and teenagers and women of all ages that sport is for you, and you know, it always has been, and there's a place for you in kind of whatever you want to do with it. So it's really important to me that this year we can get that out and everyone can enjoy it.
So just quickly run through some of the nominations for us.
Yeah, well, again, there were so many concerns at the beginning of the year, like, would we have any live sport to judge on? But we do, we have had, and it's been amazing. So we've got a real mix of a top shortlist. Holly Doyle, the amazing jockey, who's unbelievably smashed her record from last year this year, even though she had, I think, 9 weeks with no horse racing. Lizzie Deignan, the cyclist, who has won some incredible races this year, some of the best of her career. 2 triathletes, Jess Slearmuth and Georgia Taylor-Brown, and Fallon Sherrick, who captured our hearts last December in the darts, if everyone remembers, cast your mind back to a pre-pandemic world. And then some, yeah, incredible Paralympians who've broken world records this year, even just kind of in training runs and stuff. We've got a couple of representatives from motor racing, a couple from rugby. It's just such an amazing shortlist. I'm really proud of it, and just proud to even be associated with these women, because they are really badass.
So just final plug, how can people take part?
Yeah, so if you go to swoty.co.uk, which is S-W-O-T-Y, you can sign up to register for the event, and then you'll be sent your link to join on the evening. And like I said, just enjoy it. It's lockdown. We haven't got much on. It'd be a great opportunity to have a positive evening and enjoy, you know, celebrating with people this extraordinary time and women's sport.
Definitely get glammed up with us for sure. Rebecca Myers, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Erin Cuthbert, I hope you're going to get glammed up with us next week.
Yeah, that's me, glammed up on my sofa, cup of tea.
Pleasure to have you with us. Thanks to Erin Cuthbert, Rebecca Myers and Georgia Stanway, and of course all of you as ever for listening as well. Next week we'll go into a bit more depth with the Championship and focus on Leicester City and catch up with what all the rest of the clubs are getting up to. And we also have an in-depth interview with Arsenal's Vivian Miedema, so you do not want to miss that one. Any questions for us during the week, you can email us at womensfootballweekly@talksport.co.uk. You can tweet us at talksport2 or at @FakerRuthers. And as ever, if you miss any of the show or you want to listen back to any of our lockdown specials, you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.